Are you perfect yet? Are you working at that? Are you working at being perfect? And have you arrived yet? Are you close? Are you getting there? Well, I hope not. Because if you do, then you don't need Jesus. If you can get to that point, if you can be all that, if you can arrive, you won't have any need for Jesus. Jesus has come for sinners. He's come to bring grace and forgiveness. And He's come because of our need. I was passing by University Church of Christ in the last couple of days, and I noticed on their marquee, it said something to the effect of, "We're not perfect people, just forgiven." That's it. I said it earlier, but Jesus said, "I have not come for the righteous, but for sinners." Jesus also told a story about two men that went to the temple to pray together. Not together, but they both went to the temple to pray. And one was a Pharisee, and he was very religious, very righteous. And he came in and he offered his prayer to the Lord. And another man came in and prayed beside him in the temple. And he was the worst kind of sinner of the day, a publican, a tax collector. And they both were praying there at the altar. And the Pharisee, the righteous one, Jesus said, he prayed, "Oh Lord, I thank you that I do all these righteous acts." I'm paraphrasing here. "I do all these righteous acts. I give a tenth of all that I have. And I thank you that I'm not like this sinner next to me. Thank you, Lord." And then Jesus said, the other man prayed. And all he could do, couldn't really even look up to heaven, but just beat his breast and say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus told that story and he said, the righteous one went away unjustified. But the sinner who could do nothing but beat his breast and say, "Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner," he went away justified. He went away righteous in God's sight. What about you? Are you perfect yet? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look at some of God's instruction. About this perfection. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. God tells us this. "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Pray with me. Oh Lord, I don't want to mess your message up, Lord. I pray that you would move me aside, that you would speak through me. Lord, we need to hear your voice. Teach us about these things, about perfection in our lives. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's look at it. What about perfection? What about perfection? We're going to look at two different states that we can be in. Let's look at perfection right now, while you are in the body, while you are here on the earth. I've got 2 points about right now, as you're existing on planet Earth. And then there's one point that I notice in this passage that's for later. It's for then. But there will come a time that if you are a believer, if you've repented of your sins, you've put your faith in Jesus, there will be a time that you'll be with Him. And it's not here, it's not now, it's there and it's then. And we'll look at that one too. But for now, let's look at the now. What about perfection? First of all, right now, in your body, on planet Earth, one thing we can do, you can see it. For now, you can see it. You can see perfection. In verse 8, it said this, God said this, love never fails. Love never fails. There are two places that now you can see perfection. One is in Jesus Christ. You can look to Jesus right now and you can see perfection. While you are here on the earth, look to Jesus. And as you gaze upon Him, you can see perfection right now. And the other one is love. In His love. In Christ-like love. Love never fails. His love. The love of Jesus. And so right now, you can see it in those two places, in Jesus and in His love, in those places only. Love never fails. But then he goes on to say, look at all these other things. Love never fails, the love of Christ. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. These things are passing. These things are not perfect. We know from 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. God is love. And we know from multitude of places in the Scripture that Jesus is God. Jesus is fully God, the Scripture teaches, 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Well, hold on, you got 200%. I don't understand it. Neither do you. It's part of the Trinity, the divinity of Christ. The Trinity being God is one. The whole of Scripture teaches that. God is one. But He exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The whole Scripture teaches that. But each person is fully God by themselves. God the Father is fully God. God the Son is fully God. God the Holy Spirit is fully God. You can't wrap your mind around that. You can't. We have many illustrations to try to help us, but they all fall short at different places. Ice and water and H2O and family relationships. And some of these things help us to understand, but we can't understand. This is God. If He were small enough to be understood, He wouldn't be big enough to be worshipped. We can't wrap our minds around Him, but we know that is true. Jesus is God. God is love. Jesus is God. Therefore, we know Jesus is love. Jesus is perfect. He is sinless. You can see it, though. You can see it here on the earth. In your mind's eye, you can see it. When you know God's will, when you've prayed about a certain thing and you've asked for wisdom and God has revealed it to you. Or He's shown you something, and you see that truth. And when you know His will, you see that in your mind's eye. You can see Jesus, so to speak, going before you. In John chapter 5, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. But the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He's doing. Well, Jesus said that as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And we relate to Jesus in the same ways that He related to the Father. And so you could say for yourself in that passage that I can do nothing by myself. I can do only what I see my Jesus doing. For whatever Jesus does, I also do. For He loves me and shows me what He is doing. What is that meaning? That Jesus is guiding you. He's showing you. When you look to Him for wisdom and guidance, you can see where Jesus is going before you. It's called faith. It's called having eyes of faith. And you can look to Him. And you can see the path to take. You can see Him. You can do what it says to do in Hebrews 12 and fix your eyes on Jesus right now as you're here on the earth. I noticed a sign upstairs in y'all's, right next to the clothes closet that you have. And it says, from vision to reality. That's it. You see, somebody at Highland Avenue Baptist received a vision from God that there should be a clothes closet, there should be a food pantry. And you see, they saw Jesus walking there. They could see that in the future. They could see Jesus working in those ways through this church. And then they must have revealed it to somebody, and the church got on board, and the church came together and prayed it through, I'm sure. And it went from vision, from seeing Jesus, which you can do right here, to reality. And it's a vital ministry today. You can see perfection in Jesus and in His love. And so the challenge for you this morning is to look for it. Look for it. Look for Jesus every day, every moment of every day. As you wake in the morning, Lord, where are You leading me? What do You have for me today? Jesus, I want to see You. I want to see Your footsteps today, that I can follow in Your footsteps all day today. And see all these things that You have planned, these good works that You tell me in Ephesians 2:10 that You've got planned out for me today. Lord, I want to see them all come to reality. I want to walk in them. Let me see where You're walking today, Jesus. And that's what each of us need to do. What about perfection? Well, you can see it now, here. Secondly, you can't achieve it. Here and now, in this body on earth, you can't achieve it. As you notice in verse 9, in the beginning of 11 and 12, it says, for we know in part, that is now here on the earth, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now, notice the nows. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Well, you can't achieve it now. You can know in part. And you know in part now. You prophesy. We prophesy in part now. He gave the illustration of being a child. And he said, at one time I was a child and I thought and acted and did everything as a child. He was incapable at that time of doing anything as a man. He was a child. There was no way to do things as a man. He was a child. And God gives us that illustration. But then later, he became a man. Now, we see in a poor reflection. We know in part now. Let me share something with you. This is helping me. I'm sure it'll help you down the road. There's one sure way to be a failure. If you want to be a failure, if you want to fail at something, there's one sure way to do it, and that is to strive to be perfect. If there's anything, as long as you are trying to be perfect, as long as you're striving for perfection, you're sure to be a failure. It won't happen. It's impossible. I like what my mentor, Jay Wolf, says. He says this, we're not striving for a sinless perfection, but we're going in a whole new direction. You see, that's it. I'm not striving to be perfect, but I'm saved. And I'm following Jesus, and I'm going in His direction. In Galatians 3, 2, and 5, we looked at this not too long ago in one of our teachings. Galatians 3, starting in verse 2, Paul is speaking to these Galatians and it says, "I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" God is telling us there through the Apostle Paul that he's saying, guys, look at how you were saved. Was there any way that you could get to heaven? No, it was an absolute impossibility. Nobody can be good enough. The Scripture's clear on that. You'd have to be perfect. Nobody can do it. Impossibility. And so he's challenging them here. Well, look at your salvation. How were you saved? Was it by observing the law? Did you say, I'm going to obey God the best I can. I'm going to learn all of His laws and do as good as I can. Is that how you got there? Or did you just believe what you heard? Did you hear some good news and you believed it? And that's how you're saved. And you see, he says, look at that. None of us can be saved by anything we can do. It's the effort of God. It's what God has done when He reached down. And we believe Him for it and we thank Him. And you see, He does it. And then he turns around here and God shares with them through this passage that, are you so foolish? After beginning that way, after being saved by just trusting in Christ, are you now trying to obtain your goal by human effort? You see, in the same way that we're saved is the same way that we're supposed to be living. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. You can't attain perfection. You can't live how Christ wants you to. It's impossible. It's an impossibility. And you see, realizing this makes you realize that you need a Savior. You need somebody else. You need Jesus Christ. In Vacation Bible School here, we had a game. I got to do the games and play games with all the children. And one of the games we did, I was in the Jumping Frog Hollow. And one of the games we got to do was have a couple of broomsticks laid out. And that was a creek. And all the kids were frogs. And they were supposed to run and jump over that. And then that creek would get moved a little bit longer. And they'd run and jump over. And that creek would get moved a little bit longer. And I tell you what, Michael Huntley could do it from about there to maybe over that plant. It's pretty amazing. But, and he won it, by the way. He was jumping the furthest. Now, what if as soon as he finished all that, I said, all right, Michael, you did it. Okay, now you got to do the next thing. Jump over the church. He'd probably just laugh. Oh, what are you talking about, Pastor Derek? That's ridiculous. But you see, it's absurd. But it's the exact same way with striving to be perfect. Trying to be who Jesus wants you to be on your own, in your effort. It's impossible. It's impossible. Jesus referred to it when he was talking to the rich young ruler, a man who was seeking, Lord, what do I do to inherit eternal life? What do I do to be saved, Lord? And Jesus said, just obey all the commands. See, Jesus was telling, if you can do that, anybody can get there. You can get to heaven that way. Just obey all the commands. Be perfect. You'll get there. Sin's the only thing that will keep you out of heaven. But you see, I know Jesus was trying to help this man realize it's an impossibility. It's absolutely impossible. And when you realize it can't be done, and you say, oh, Lord, have mercy. What do I do? Well, then there's a Savior waiting for you. And you see, Jesus referred to the impossibility as a camel going through the eye of a needle. It's absolutely impossible. And then right after that, Jesus said, With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what about you this morning? What about you? What about me? You need to know that you can't achieve it. It's impossible. You need to know that you can't do His will, that you can't achieve His will. It is impossible. And so know that here, now, you can see it, you can, you can't achieve it, but third, you can receive it. You can receive it. Verse 10. Says, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When perfection comes, well, Jesus is perfect. So where there is Jesus, there is perfection. When Jesus comes, with Jesus, you can receive it. With God, there is perfection. His grace, there is perfection. With Jesus, there is perfection. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, God tells us, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And in those verses, God tells you completely clearly that it's not by anything you can do that you're saved, but it's by your faith, by your belief in Jesus, by God's grace. And in the same way, live in the Christian life. It's by grace that you live it. What he was talking about in Galatians, don't be foolish and then get saved by faith and then try to live your Christian life in your own human effort. No, just like Ephesians 2, for it's by grace that you can do anything in the name of Jesus, that you can do His will and what He wants you to do. It's by grace through faith. It's not from yourself. It's a gift of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a gift of God. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God tells us, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. But you see, it's all according to God's grace. It's nothing you can do. It's by His grace. God loves to do the impossible. My next door neighbor and I were talking the other day, and her sister's dying in another state, and she's got a brain bleed and some other issues, and she's got dementia. And my neighbor went out to see her and visited with her, and she said an amazing thing happened. She hadn't really been able to talk to anybody or anything like that, but when I sat down to talk to my sister, it was like she was in her right mind. She talked to me for a little while, and that was probably the last time I'll ever see her. And then I left. Well, what's that? That's God's grace. You see, His grace, He desires His grace to be in your life all day long, every day, throughout every decision you make, everything you do. He doesn't want you dependent on yourself, but on Him, knowing that you can't achieve it, but you can receive it. Knowing that if you let Him, He'll do incredible things on your behalf. And so, here and now, you can see it, you can't achieve it, but you can receive it. You can receive it. And finally, then, now all that's right here on the earth, but then there will come a day when you step into the Lord's presence and when you're with Him, then you can be it. You can be it. Then is when you can be perfect. In verse 10, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And then in verse 12, we see that now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You see, in that day, when you step into the Lord's presence, if you're a believer, if you've repented of your sins, put your faith in Christ, then when your absence from the body is presence with the Lord, and when you leave this place, you're with Him. And it is then that the Scripture says you'll be just like Him. It's then, at that time, you'll have this resurrected body, this glorified body. And it's what God was referring to in the illustration. When I became a man, I used to be a child, there was no way I could do any of these things. But when I became a man, there's and moving into that next life, at that time, things are different. Then you're face to face. Then you know fully. And I'll leave you with two verses that also deal on this issue of perfectionism. You see it in what Paul was talking about in Philippians 3, verse 12. He said, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And then finally in Galatians 5, verse 13, this is a verse to live by. Galatians 5:13. God tells us this: "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, for your words, Lord. Help each of us here this morning, Lord, in regard to this perfection. Lord, help us to see it. Lord, to look to you, Jesus, and your love, to see you all day, every day. Keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, let us know that we can't achieve it, that we can never do it, but that we can receive it. Lord, that we can go to you. We can receive your grace, your mercy. We can see you work on our behalf, and Lord, it brings us joy. And Lord, then and only then, at that time, Lord, that we can be it. Help us in these things, Lord. Speak to our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. And the question for you is, what is God telling you? What have you heard this morning? What is He telling you? Whatever decision you need to make, make that decision. Maybe it's to recommit your life to Jesus. Maybe you've realized that you've known that you're not perfect, and you've realized this morning you need a Savior, and it's to go to Jesus. Maybe it's to join this church. You've realized this is the place that God's calling you. Whatever decision you need to make, make it as Steve leads us in this song. I'll be down at the front to receive you.